This hour of Phil Hendry is brought to you by Dynapep Micro Energy Shot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Tickets go to Ellen.
We believe that Emirates did not follow those policies and procedures.
First of all, we're not broke. This country is not broke. State of Wisconsin is not broke.
We've got owners, most of whom are worth close to $1 billion.
And that's just the way it is.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. And I'll tell you, this is a very interesting, very, very interesting night, because what happened was I was reaching for a mouse. As you know, Bud, this is how I operate a lot of the audio files. I have computers.
Right.
And I am pretty much firing the audio with the computers using these mice. And I have them all set up in a sequence, and they got screwed up. And there I was fumbling with one.
Well, it's, you know, fumbling with one, and you should have been fumbling with the other, sort of story of, you know.
Story of mankind.
Yeah.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number on the world-famous Phil Hendry show. Jay Santos joining us with the... From the Citizens Auxiliary Police, as we talk a little bit about air security tonight, TSA staff jet blew it. What's that mean? Box cutters taken on JFK airliner. Well, anyway, a passenger managed to waltz past JFK's ramped up security gauntlet with three box cutters in his carry-on luggage, easily boarding an international flight while carrying the weapon of choice of the 9/11 hijackers. And this is according to sources talking to the New York Post. We're going to have Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police on here in just a second. A reminder, you can watch our video cast, high-definition video cast at philhendryshow.com. And while you're over there, pick up our Best Of CDs or the Phil Hendry, the official Phil Hendry Show shot glass. Jay, how are you this evening?
Phil, I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on.
So tell me about security at the... you work for the Citizens, or you are a part of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, one of the founding members, an auxiliary police force. You're not an official police force, but you have found it necessary, you and others, to form a auxiliary citizens police unit because you don't feel the police were doing the job.
Well, I think when you put it that way, it probably sounds much harsher than... it probably needs to sound. I wouldn't say that we don't think the police are doing a job. I would say, though, that, we have probably a different situation than, some people would like to say is an optimum situation, is the best situation. So what we've decided to do is form our auxiliary police force to, when we do see police or security people at an airport or wherever, not quite doing the job that they should be doing, we can step up and remind them what they should do.
Well, I mean, when you step up and remind them, do you have any police experience?
When you say, do we have any police experience, we have combined, we have more police experience than you would probably guess. Most of us have been security guards with a long-standing record of service to different department stores, different places where credit unions, this kind of thing, check cashing places. So these are places that you might not think require that much security. I can tell you that the average check cashing place in Hollywood, for instance, requires way more security than probably a bank or something like that. So.
You're all right. So let's just suffice it to say that you guys have some police experience. Now, we're not talking about the police. We're talking about TSA, and that is the airport security people. So it is being said today that they blew it. They let box cutters get on the plane. and that this was a terrible breach, given the fact that box cutters were used by the 9/11 hijackers, given the fact that this is exactly what these guys are supposed to be looking for. And fortunately, these were box cutters carried not by a terrorist. They were carried by an innocent citizen, a man who works in a factory, and uses this as one of the tools of his trade.
Well, that is exactly correct, and that's why I think there was a little bit of an overreaction to. Because understand something, Mr. Henry, part of the job of being a TSA or even doing what we do, Citizens Auxiliary Police or security style agent, one of the jobs we do, and I don't think people really think about this, is the fact we have to be able to look people, up and down and size people up. Sizing people up is one of the most underrated skills that we have on the Citizens Auxiliary Police. People think sometimes that we're involving ourselves in things that we shouldn't involve ourselves in. That we should not be talking to citizens because we're not real police officers. But I would give you, I'd give you odds. We're better at sizing up people and looking and seeing what they're all about and whether or not. Well, if you wanted someone to carry a box cutter on an airplane, who's going to be? And it could very well be that's what happened with TSA. I have my own theory. And
well, you're not seriously telling me that they said they saw the box cutters on this guy and decided, well, he looks okay.
No, I'm not saying that. I am saying there are those of us that could do that. I'm not saying that there are people on the TSA that can't do that. I'm not saying there are people on a TSA what can't do it or what could do it. But I am saying that. It is a skill. Now, what happened
I want to just go back on this. And maybe it's not worth talking about because we never, ever, ever would I ever want anyone working at the Transportation Security Administration to have the so-called skill you're talking about, which is I'm going to size this guy up.
Why not?
Well, I just don't want anybody doing that on any plane that I'm getting on. I'm going to size him up. No, he looks okay. He looks okay. She doesn't look okay. I don't believe that anyone has that kind of ability to the point where you can secure an entire aircraft.
All right. Well, you're entitled to your opinion. And unfortunately, your opinion is not a professional opinion. My opinion is a professional opinion. And I am telling you that there are those of us, not a lot, but there are those of us who could do that. But let me tell you what happened, I feel, on the aircraft in question on this particular evening. Which was last weekend, I think it was a Sunday or Tuesday, I forget which day that they say it was.
Well, it was this past weekend.
All right, so that would be it's not a Tuesday, so it would be a weekend day, is that correct?
That's correct.
As I understand, the airport we're talking about is JFK. If JFK is anything like LA International Airport, Miami, or some of the other larger airports that do have an influx of international travelers as well as a great bit of Caribbean traffic, or in the case of Los Angeles International Airport, going to Mexico, people are going through security and taking their shoes and putting their shoes on right there at the end of the security belt, at the end of the carousel, well before they are into the gate area. This causes a great deal of congestion. It causes a great deal of distraction on the part of the transportation security administrators. And what you have happening then, Phil, is these young men and women are looking at these people who are jamming up the egress area, putting their shoes on, because they apparently have no real consideration for other human beings. I mean, I don't want to say that.
Well, that's not a fair thing to say. You're saying that people are jamming up the area, putting their shoes back on, and what is that doing?
I'm telling you that distracts the TSA agents to the point where they're looking at individuals who obviously don't care whether the TSA agents do their jobs or not, because they're sitting on the floor or they're taking a TSA chair away from someone who's a lot of those agents, I should say, are going to have a sandwich or something. And so, do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't understand what you're saying. You're saying that the TSA is getting distracted by people putting their shoes back on, and it's jamming up the egress area, and that somehow does what?
What that does, if you are not able to, connect the dots here, Phil, it's...
Well, look at Jay. There's no point in getting smart. I'm just,
No, I'm not getting smart. What it does is it distracts our TSA agents so that they are not able to concentrate on a job at hand And what's happening then is they are letting some things go, like these box cutters. And a lot of these guys are going to say, if this is the concern they have for me, if this is the concern travelers have for me, and I've seen this happen, where people are sitting there putting their shoes on, they're sitting on the floor, or they will take a chair, and it's something that is one of the bigger problems with a lot of air travelers. They take the chairs that are intended for the TSA agents who may go on break and have a sandwich or won't have a cup of coffee, and they'll take the chair and sit on the chair and put their shoes on with their feet. And again, you wonder, when's the last time they took a bath or they washed their feet? Or what? I guess you can't really say anything.
Well, you know what? If you're asking people to take their shoes off in the middle of an airport, I guess you're asking for some dirty feet. I don't know. But how big a problem is this? I really want to know. And our number, by the way, folks, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Box cutters getting through at JFK and other things may lack the TSA's attention because people are jamming the area up, putting their shoes back on. And you mentioned also in one of your blogs that people are taking their time putting their computers back in the cases.
That is correct as well, Phil. People are sometimes opening their computers to make sure that, you know, the TSA agent didn't do something bad to it. There's a lot of this kind of what we call nerdnik nerdnik security alert.
And what is it, a nerdnik?
That is just a word that we use. When you have a nerdnik security alert is when some dork is looking at his computer and this. What we want is for people to get their computers back in their case, get their shoes on, and get away from the area that we are trying desperately to secure, to make sure the people are secure, to make sure there's no contraband getting on the aircraft, so that we can have a few airplanes fly across the United States on any given day without subjecting the passengers to the possibility of, my God, Phil, the horrible, horrible death disintegrating through a building. This is a terrible way to die, and we don't want anyone to die like that. But if people are going to be putting their shoes on, taking their time with their computer, standing there scratching their you-know-what.
But you didn't answer my question. How big of a problem is this? Because I have to tell you, okay?
It's a very big problem. From what I can see, Phil, it's a very big problem, okay?
Yeah, but okay, from what you can see, because what you've done is you've gone, and I understand that, Jay, from airport to airport, but do we have an official report on this?
I am telling you, as a professional, I worked as a security guard, so I know what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you as a professional, when people are standing there picking their butt, excuse my language, putting their computer back in their case and putting their shoes back on and taking forever to tie their shoes, all of this is very distracting to TSA. Now, we've got to do something, and my solution, which should have been in place this weekend at JFK, is to go up to people and tell them you've got to get out of the area, clear the area right now.
And what? And they're sitting there putting their shoes on.
They can take their shoes and walk into the gate area where their chairs. Just get away from where we're trying to do. And I say we, I mean TSA, trying to do our work. But just get out of here, and don't sit in a chair that was intended for TSA. A person going to have a sandwich or a cup of coffee. All right.
All right, hold the line here. 877-876-7445. The TSA is distracted by people putting their shoes on, distracted by people taking their time putting their computers back in their cases, distracted by people standing there picking their rear ends, as you just heard Mr. Santos put it. That's why box cutters got on board an aircraft last weekend at JFK. Do you buy it? And if we have to take our shoes off in the first place, I guess we've got to put them back on somewhere. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
877-876-7445, that's the number, and that is Mr. Announcer Person just told you. Here, Jay Sattis with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay, you were assisting, actually monitoring or observing, I believe, at Long Beach Airport here in California one afternoon when somewhere in the neighborhood of 37 people missed a Southwest Airlines flight. And
hold on for just a minute, Phil, because if you're going to tell a story, you have to tell a story accurately, okay?
And I'm going to tell the story, and then you can, 37 people missed the flight because you were hurrying them out of this security area, 37 people, and let's, you know, I don't know how many shoes that is.
That's 74 shoes.
All right, go ahead, you tell me.
You know, I'd like to tell you, because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to secure... And at the same time, secure the safety of the aircraft and make sure people get on plane and make sure people get on plane safe.
Now, you're not a member of the TSA, okay? Let's be very clear here. You were just observing.
That is correct. I was observing as member of Citizens Auxiliary Police.
But you were told to leave the airport after this happened.
No, I was not told to leave the airport. I left the airport because I was disgusted with the reaction of security at that time. What I did, Phil, was something that the Transportation Security Administration should do. I took all the shoes that were coming through the carousel, the security carousel. I picked the shoes up off the security carousel. I walked them over to an open gate that was near the security area, and I put them there around the chairs. In other words, I got them away from the carousel.
Did the people know that their shoes were going to be... You know what I'm saying?
I was taking shoes. Did they know what? What are you saying?
Did people know that their shoes were going to be taken from the security area and thrown in a gate?
I didn't throw them in a gate, Mr. Henry.
Well, people were saying that they found their shoes laying all through this. And fortunately, there weren't people there. And
I'm not going to throw their shoes into an area that is populated with people waiting for an aircraft or waiting for people to get off an aircraft if I threw them and you are trying to trick me into saying I threw them.
And well, you did throw them, didn't you? You took these shoes from these people who were going through security that they'd taken their shoes off.
This is very funny to me.
I'm not making this up, okay?
I took the shoes that people had taken off and take their sweet time putting on. Can I just say that again? The shoes that they'd taken off and take their sweet time putting on, and I tossed them into a gate area. All right.
Okay. That meant that those people got through security and then had to go look for their shoes.
But it unclogged the area that we...
Yeah, it unclogged the area and people missed an airplane. Now, let's be...
Well, they missed a commuter jet that was, I believe, going to San Diego. And
so what was so important about making sure that these people got through there so fast?
Because we're talking about securing an aircraft.
I know, but the point is they're going to San Diego, so it's not like there is an enormous amount of fuel on the jet that's going to make the thing a highly explosive missile going into a building. Why don't you just let TSA do their job? Instead, what you did is you picked...
Because TSA is not doing their job. TSA let box cutters get on an aircraft going at JFK Airport. Now, fortunately, those box cutters were owned by a man who was a factory worker who was not a member of Al-Qaeda. But if he'd been a member of Al-Qaeda, he could take those box cutters and cut a person's throat ear to ear. Now, I can't fly on the aircraft with these people. If I did, I could protect them. The only thing I can do as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is work around TSA, help them clear the area and take the shoes, throw them. If I could have, I would have thrown them in the garbage. That's how important it is to clear out an area.
If you could have taken people's shoes, you'd throw them in the garbage.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Why?
Because people sitting around putting their shoes on after they've had... God.
If I'm not getting something here...
You've got people that are... Understand, Mr. Henry, you got people that are taking their time putting their computers back into their computer cases.
And, okay, I understand that.
All right, and then you have people taking their time, putting their shoes back on in this gated area, in a secure area, where the PSA is trying to do their job, and people are sitting around talking, and saying, "Oh, that's a nice, you know, pair of shoes you got." And as if, and then they're taking the chairs that sometimes are intended for TSA people to eat a sandwich. And I don't understand what is so difficult to it. You know,
if the people need a chair to sit in to put their shoes back on, why not let them use that chair, even if it was intended for a guy from the TSA to sit down and eat a sandwich on? 877-876-7445. We'll take your calls after this break here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Sit in a sandwich.
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is joining us. And I want to get into, Jay, as well, discussions of how things have been going at airport security since the whole X-ray. You know?
Oh, that's a good area of discussion, Phil, and things are going very well. As a matter of fact, we went, myself and about three members of Citizens Auxiliary Police, were at John Wayne Airport in Essex, Orange County. We are not TSA, but like I said, we were doing some observing, and I can tell you this much, people were, as you recall, very, very argumentative and angry when it came time for them to be either X-rayed, or body scan, I should say, or to have a pat-down. And I'm very happy to report that people are as meek as a lamb now. I mean, they are very docile, and they do what they're told, and we don't have any problems like that.
Well, I mean, instead of saying that people are doing what they're told, maybe we can say that they see the value in just, you know, allowing the process to take its place, you know, to take its course.
Well, Phil, I'm on the front line of law enforcement. I'm not quite as diplomatic as you. I like to call the way I'm going to see it, and I'm going to, you know, say it. I mean, people have backed off and letting an officer do their job.
All right, 877-876-PHIL on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show tonight. Let's get to some phone calls now. Jesse in Chattanooga listening on WPLZ. Go ahead, Jesse.
Yeah, first off, I want to ask, how long does it take you to put on your shoes?
Is the gentleman talking to me?
Yes.
How long does it take me to put on my shoes? It depends, sir. I mean, if I'm in my own house and I'm having a leisurely, you know, morning, I may go, you know, may take me 5 minutes or so if I'm talking to my wife or whatever. But that's my home. If I'm out in a public place, especially an area like a TSA checkpoint, where it is very important to make sure that these people are not distracted and are not having to deal with you or somebody taking their sweet time putting a computer. I'm not saying you do it, but it may take, you know, it would be, I'd get my shoes on very quickly.
Well, you're saying you wouldn't put your shoes on there.
I would not put my shoes on there. I'd walk out of that area. I'd go to a gate, even if I have to walk in my socks for 100 yards.
Let me ask you another question. Do you guys not take into account that they're elderly people going
to
be flying?
How long does it take you to put your shoes on?
It takes me about 2 or 3 minutes. I've got boots. A lot of people wear boots. I work in a place where I have steel toe boots, and there's a lot of lacing involved with that. Not everybody wears Velcro straps or sandals or slips on Crocs and all that garbage. Some people wear, a lot of people fly their own business. They wear nice shoes, and it requires a number of lacing.
If you wear boots, there are boots that don't have laces, if you're talking about boots.
Well, he's talking about the kind that lace up. They must be some kind of a work boot, Jesse. Is that it?
Right.
So, well, I never heard of that. I never heard of it. Yeah, I mean, you can get a boot. So you're going to an airport. I've heard of boots that lace up that girls wear.
No, work boots.
I know what a construction boot is, but not something that goes all the way to the knee. That's pretty feminine, isn't it?
Let me explain this to you, since you seem to just crawled out from under a rock. There are boots that go up.
Isn't that very feminine, a boot that goes to your knee that you lace up?
He's going to explain it.
Okay, now, by lacing up, I'm talking, it's got four hooks on it, maybe three. Just depends on what type you buy. It depends on the manufacturer of the shoe. Now, you've got to loop it through those and then tie it at the top. That's lacing it. I'm not talking about lacing up knee highs or something. I'm talking, you've got, it's a longer process than slapping belts or straps or tying up tennis shoes.
Why are you wearing something like that to an airport? That sounds, you said it was a work boot. Why won't you wear a slip-on or slippers?
What do you mean felt slippers?
I'm trying to explain that different people are there for different purposes. There are going to be people there that are going as more casual, and they're not on business. They don't have to be presentable, so they're going to be wearing easier to lace things up, like tying tennis shoes doesn't take so long. Putting on their sandals or their slippers, whatever they're wearing. But then there are people that come in there. Nice business shoes. Some of those have to be tied. People that are not necessarily worried about what they're wearing.
You're going through a security area. You need to wear a boot that is more of a slip-on or something made of felt that your foot goes into easier.
And what do you mean felt?
How many people do you think stop before they get ready to go to the airport, like, I'm fixing to go through a security checkpoint. I better wear the best shoes to make the process faster.
There you go. That's exactly my point, sir. How many people do that? And the answer is hardly any. And what's the end result? We got ourselves a cluster, you know what? All these guys putting their boots on that take you. I still don't understand what you're talking about with these boots you wear.
I know exactly what he's saying. These are boots. A lot of times, I used to wear a pair of construction-style boots. They got a steel toe. They protect the foot, especially if you're walking around debris.
Well, he's not walking through debris. He's getting on an airplane.
The point is, Jay, that these are shoes that people have chosen to wear. It's going to take time to put them on. We're already observing a security process that is as difficult as hell to get through. Why can't we wear our shoes?
I'm just saying to the gentleman that you, Phil, it's something that's a slip-on. You know?
What do you mean a slip-on, man? You mean like a loafer?
Yes.
I don't wear them.
Oh, well, I would suggest that you start.
Well, so now
why would you want to go on a long trip? Say you've got a car ride or a taxi ride or however your transportation, your means of getting to the airport is. You've got to get there, and you've got to walk through the airport, which some of these airports are just massive. You get a lot of walking there. Who wants to wear loafers that entire trip and then onto the airplane, and if you take them off and it's something that easy, you're just going to feel free to kick them off, and then people around you may have to smell your feet if you've got an issue. And then when you get to the next terminal, you've got another airport. Hold on. No.
Do whatever you want to do. But you know what we got? We got scooters.
Airport to go through. That's two airports. Wearing loafers? Are you mad?
But what do you want to do? You want to, okay, great. You're wearing your tie-up boots, and there's a guy with a box cutter. Happy birthday.
Oh, get out of here, a guy with a box cutter. All right, thank you very much, sir. I'm telling you.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying the comedy routine, Phil, because I can tell you something. I was at the...
It's not a comedy routine. I'm enjoying, but you're going from the guy wearing tie-up, lace-up boots, whatever it is.
This guy's talking about a boot. What you got to tie up all the way to your knee. Now, the last person I saw wearing a boot that gets tied up to the knee was female and British. All right, that's kind of an interesting thing right there. She not only was she female, but she was also British. Okay, so that's kind of interesting. Yeah.
What's interesting about it? I don't.
Just the fact that that's the last person I saw wearing a boot that ties to the knee.
That guy wasn't wearing boots that tie to the knee. He explained it.
Well, he talked about a lot of laces. Didn't he not talk about wall laces? I thought I heard him talk about wall laces.
I heard him say that there were three hooks to the boot. Let's get back to the point here, and that is that you are standing in line there at Orange County, and you're doing what?
Well, as I said to you, the people have become very compliant with the body scan and the pat-down.
Okay.
We went to Orange County, and we wanted to see for ourselves if this process had moved along, and indeed it had. So we observed at that time a line of people going through the security check. They did have a first-class line. There were probably about four people in that line, and probably about 30, 32 people, anywhere from 31 to 29 people in the other line, the coach line. At that time, I did observe that they were being offered the body scan. Most of them had taken a body scan, but I'd say that probably about a half a dozen to ten, anywhere from 10 to 4 people.
What do you mean 10 to 4? I don't understand. You said 31 to 29?
I said anywhere from 10 to 4 people.
You mean anywhere from 4 people to upwards of 10?
I can't. I mean, all of a sudden, what's with you?
No, I don't understand what you're saying, that's all.
You don't understand?
All right, so you're saying anywhere, all right, so let's say 10 people.
It was 10, it was either 10 or 7.
And God, all.
Mr. Henry, I'm trying to explain.
Go ahead.
It was 10 or 7 people.
All right, it was 10 or 7 people, and then what?
What happened was, those people were going to opt for the pat-down. They did not want to go through body scan. And I said to them that if you're going to opt for the pat-down, we don't want to hear you complaining, as passengers had complained a few months ago, about having an area touched or having it gripped or what have you.
Okay.
And that's when I reached down and I said, if you're going to have a pat-down, it's going to be something like this. And I looked this guy in the eye. I mean, I looked right at him. And I said, it's going to be something like this. And I grabbed a hold of you-know-what and squeezed. And I was looking at him. Not once did he flinch. Not once did he grimace. Not once did he say, how dare you. Not once did he get inflammatory or flame up or swell up or anything. He simply stood.
So the guy stood there, and you're not even a member of the TSA.
That is correct.
And a guy stood there and willingly let you reach down and squeeze.
That is correct.
And not once did he say a thing.
No, and that was not the only one. I said to these people, if you're going to opt for the pat-down here at John Wayne Airport, and this is an airport Phil is named after John Wayne, who's probably one of the most, you know, incredible people, I mean, movie star, everything that you want to talk about, okay? And
yeah, well, one would think that maybe a guy would mind having it gripped at John Wayne Airport, but...
Well, that was my thinking. See, that's why I'm bringing it up. Because if you're going to have a problem with a passenger at TSA or checkpoint where you reach down and get a squeeze, it's going to be John Wayne Airport.
And okay.
Well, you know what?
I know what you're saying. Okay, so did you go on and do any more?
We did. We checked probably another 6 or 7, gave a good squeeze, and each time I would look them right in the eye. For the women, generally the same thing. We tried not to be too intrusive. I was not looking to have sexual... fun or be all excited about anything or something like that. I wanted the ladies to know, though, that it would be invasive, that would involve probably either 1 to 2 fingers.
Well, I don't know what that is supposed to mean. We're talking about patting people down as opposed to the body scan.
That is correct.
And you looked these people in the eye and went ahead and groped them.
Yes, sir, I did, and we didn't hear a peep out of them. So we've come a long way, a long, long way. And I credit TSA, I credit passengers, but this situation with shoes, get your shoes on and get away from me. You know, that's what TSA's basic marching order is now, and you see this in some of the break rooms for TSA. Get your shoes on and get your feet away from me.
What do you mean break rooms? They got that hanging up?
Yeah, they got it on the bulletin boards, yeah.
All right, Jay, well, thank you, and I'm not exactly sure whether we're in a better place or a worse place.
No, Phil, we're doing a lot better. We're doing a lot better. We got to get people to get those shoes on and get their feet, their shoes, their socks, and get them out of the area. Or guess what? We're going to have another plane blow up in the sky because someone's feet were more important.
Thank you very much. Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. Man, I don't understand a word that guy says. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and what a night. Jay Santos and Vernon Dozier, and, boy, I hope they, both of those guys sound like they're about to get moved out of their current jobs into something something a little more permanent, like bars and no window, you know.
What do you think? They're going to go to jail?
Well, I mean, the one guy is parading high school girls in front of him, checking out, you know, what they got, and then the other guy is gripping dudes in line as they're waiting to get through security at the airport, and looking them in the eye when he's doing it and saying, "Ah, yes, they're much more docile now." I think something's gonna happen and ain't good. Well, anyway, welcome back here on the show, and a reminder that we are online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, and that means that you can access our video cast, which is on air right now. It's on our website right now at philhendryshow.com, as well as our merchandise, as well as our thousands and thousands of hours of archived material. And, of course, we have our news feed, and, of course, we have our comment section and guaranteed email response, daily podcasts, classic Phil podcasts, all of them there at philhendryshow.com. Now, Arianna Huffington, who owns the Huffington Post.
Yeah, man, this story, now I know what you're talking about.
Now you know what I'm talking about. What am I talking about?
You're talking about what a douchebag she is.
I never said she was a douchebag. You know, she hung up on us one time, that's all. You know?
Yeah, I remember when she did that, she was douche-like. And I'll tell you why. Because she goes, "I don't need this." And then, I don't know about anything else.
Okay, fine. You got the basic gist of it. Yeah, she hung up on us. I didn't hang up on her. Did you say I hung up on her?
I forget.
Well, in any event, Ms. Huffington has the Huffington Post, and she is a of the liberal persuasion. She's a, you know, liberal, meaning that that's what she is. So she's got this post where she has bloggers contribute. And when people have said, you know, "I've contributed to the Huffington Post," I remember I used to think, wow, I mean, that's pretty good. You know, I mean, you're published with a major news blogging service. And then I realized she's not paying anybody. She's giving them exposure. And many people have parlayed that, including our very close personal friend, who we haven't heard from in about 2 years, Greg Gutfeld.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a call.
Don't call anybody. In any event, yeah, Greg Gutfeld started at the Huff. Didn't start there, but blogged there for a while. He's a conservative, so, you know, it sounds to me like, you know, she's looking for smart people and good people. But here's what happened. As soon as she sold her website, The Huffington Post, for $315 million to AOL, the bloggers, some of the bloggers on her site said, "No, wait just a minute.
That's a lot of money."
That's a lot of money, yeah. So it seems like it's time for you to start to kick in. Now, if the model is we don't pay bloggers, we give you exposure, then that's the model. But there's nothing wrong with someone saying, "I know you didn't used to pay us, but now would you please, because you have all this money." I mean, obviously, people are looking for a paying gig. You know, this is recession time. The other thing that is interesting about this is that she is a progressive, a liberal, et cetera, et cetera, and so on and so forth. And people are hurting. And we always hear about people, you know, we always hear about people hurting out there in the hinterlands and in middle America being the serious concern of liberals, progressives, Democrats, that we need to reach out and help people, yada, yada, yada. Here is a private concern, a private business that has just made a windfall with the sale of this business, or at least a some measure of this business, and she could actually put some money into the pockets of writers, political writers across this country, around the world. And her comment was, "Go ahead, go on strike, no one really notices." And she may be right. You know, Arianna Huffington's a really, really smart. She knows the publishing, or I should say, she knows the news business very, very well, you know.
Yeah, I thought you hated her, and then you seen her in on a Congress and everything.
Well, I don't hate her, bud. I don't hate her. So, no, I don't hate her, but I admire her instincts for news, because I saw her speaking before the United States Congress, a Senate subcommittee, and she was very eloquently breaking it down for these guys when they were considering bailing out newspapers. You remember that? Remember when they were thinking about doing that?
No.
Yeah, well, I don't even know why I asked you that, because I don't know why you'd remember that. But it was right after the banks got bailed out and a whole bunch of other people got bailed out, but not the the newspaper business. She said, look, news is fine. Journalism is fine. Newspapers aren't doing too good. It's just the vehicle, as we like to say on the show, people get their news from. So Huffington spoke alongside AOL chief Tim Armstrong at Paid Content's 2011 conference in New York on Thursday. She dismissed the notion that all bloggers should be paid given the wide platform HuffPo gives them. She argued that blogging on the Huffington Post is equivalent to going on Rachel Maddow, Jon Stewart, or the Today Show to promote their ideas. It isn't that they want to promote their ideas, Miss Huffington. It's that they want to promote their ideas, as other writers do, and get paid for it. The idea of going on strike when no one really notices, Huffington said, go ahead, go on strike. That's a let-em-eat-cake statement, if I ever heard it, coming from a so-called liberal. That is an arrogant, entitled person's statement, and I think that that's really who she is. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.